If you need an outline and did not get one, we have probably have a few extra. Does anybody need an outline here this morning? Hands? Okay. Dad, do you have an extra outline? We have one up here needs an outline. Up here on the front row. I think you know this lady. The visitor. All right. And have your Bibles out and handy as well. Most of the scripture verses in our Sunday school are on the notes page that I've given to you, so you can follow along there. Now, thus far, we have been discussing in our series on finances. In fact, let's go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, or you can read it on your notes. I have it there. That is the main passage that we'll be looking at this morning as it pertains to this principle. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, verses 5 and 6 are quite familiar. But we'll be going a little bit beyond that. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 5 and then go down through verse 10. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now, so far as we were talking about, we've been discussing these principles of finances. Our first lesson that took us a week or two was on the perspective. How should we look at material possessions and finances? What does the Bible have to say that should guide our perspective? And the first couple, in that first lesson, we realized that God is the owner and we are the managers of everything, really. He's the owner of everything. The scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means everything in the earth. This is just in your introduction. This is not in your notes, so we're just bringing you up to speed. The world and they that dwell therein. God is the owner of everything, and he has allowed us to be managers of some of what he possesses. We also said our real treasure is in heaven, and that should modify the way we look at our possessions here on earth. What we have on earth, we use to serve God and others and lay up treasure in heaven. And then thirdly, we said the purpose of money is to live and to give. And so we use it to live. God does want to provide for our needs, but also to give to others, which is actually a spiritual discipline. We'll begin speaking about that today. That was our first lesson, the perspective of finances. Now, moving on from then, we discussed the provision of finances. How does God plan to provide for your needs? And we said that the primary method of providing for your needs is by working and then resting. There are other ways that God provides, but primarily it's by you working and then resting. And we looked in the book of Exodus, where God said, 6 days shalt thou labor and 1 day shalt thou rest, right? 6-to-1 ratio. A lot of people want it the other way around. They want to rest for 6 days and work for one. You know, get rich quick schemes. You see all those placards out at the baseball, you know, at the intersections and stuff. But that's not the way that God designed it. Working is good for us. Working's good for us. That's God's primary plan for provision. And then last week, we kind of finished up touching on the protection of finances, which is contentment. Working, then waiting, and trusting God. Contentment. And we said that contentment is an appropriate satisfaction with what God has allowed us to have. If you are obedient to God, if you are working, if you are trusting, then what you have is what God has allowed you to have. And we ought to be content. And we discussed that. The scripture says in Timothy some things as it pertains to that. It said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content, because godliness with contentment is great gain. That's right. So today we're going to take another step and kind of touch on, we're going to go backtrack after we've laid these out, and we're going to revisit the issue of giving, because the purpose of money is to live and to give. We're going to discuss what the Bible has to say about giving, the principle about giving. Now, most of the time when a preacher starts talking about money, this is where people's mind goes, and they immediately say, ah, that preacher just talks about money all the time, all right? And it fills people with fear. And I say this with all sincerity in my heart. Some of that's deserved because this subject has been abused, and it is being abused today by some preachers on television, different churches. It's been abused. They pressure people into giving, twist their arms, say, give seed money and God will give to you, or selling prayer cloths. I prayed over this stack of prayer cloths. You purchase it, sew it into your clothes, and you'll have a blessing. Put it in your pillow, and or angel oil, and you know, you can use this to anoint your house, and they sell it, and it's basically like a carnival, okay? Or they sell forgiveness. The Catholic Church, you know, for a long time, they would sell indulgences, and you could buy this forgiveness in advance of your sin. That's completely unbiblical. But I'll say this. The Bible has clear directions about giving, how much we ought to give, and what attitude we ought to give with. So here's kind of the thrust as we move forward. When we can, and today we're going to talk about the first part of this, giving by faith. We're going to talk about the others later. When we can learn to obey God by faith in the area of giving, we give Him the opportunity to bless us in the area of finances. When we obey God by faith, we give Him the opportunity to bless us in the area of finances. Let's consider point number one. This is Roman numeral one. You'll see that there on your notes. Giving by faith, we're going to develop this today. Giving by faith is a part of living by faith. And in the blank there, you want to put the word living by faith. We are commanded to live by faith. Now, the text that we're looking at is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Okay. Now, this is a familiar passage. How many of y'all memorized 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy... Oh, so many hands. And that's fantastic. This is what you would call a conditional promise. Did you realize this? This is a conditional promise of God. Everybody wants to claim the promises of God. I claim that promise. Do you realize that the promises of God are conditional? They require you to do something in order for you to claim that promise. This promise is conditional. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and then He shall direct thy paths. We want the promise, but it's conditional. So we're going to develop that. What's interesting is this verse starts with general of your life, and then it gets very specific to one area of your life, and that has to do with finances. So that's kind of what we're going to do. We're going to start with the general, and we're going to talk about living by faith. Now, the context in verses 1 through 3, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. He's talking to his son. He's saying, you need to listen to me. You ever had that conversation with your kids? You kind of, hey, you need to listen to me. It'll be good for you, okay? Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thine. And so he's going on and telling him how it's going to help him. And then he comes to verse 5 and he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Look at letter A there, capital letter A. Trusting in the Lord is absolutely necessary for His blessing and direction. Trusting in the Lord is absolutely necessary for His blessing and direction. Now, there's a lot of things that we can trust in this life. People trust in doctors. They trust in self. They trust in the lottery. That's foolish. Trusting in the Lord is what we need to do. And that's really just those first several words of verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You know, the word trust, you can see it there. The word trust has different words used in the scripture, kind of the range of meaning. Other words used to convey the same idea are faith, belief, confidence, trust. Each one of you is trusting the chair that you're sitting in. Okay, nobody sat down really gingerly. You might have if you've ever had a chair collapse under your weight, but probably not, okay? And so you just sat down in the chair and you displayed your trust. Some other scripture verses that demonstrate this range of meaning. The word trust is used in the Psalms. The psalmist uses it. And he says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He places it. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. The word believe is used in the book of Mark. The man came to Jesus. The father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So he wasn't 100% in yet, but he said, Lord, I have some. Help me with the rest. Okay, he believed. Trust. Faith. In Hebrews 11, the word faith is used. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not just his existence, but the fact that he's there, he responds to us. And then the word confidence in 1 John 5, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so there's an amount of faith, trust, confidence in God. And the Bible is telling us trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Consider this next. It says not just trust, but I'm going to hammer this home, in the Lord. And the reason I say this is because trust in the Lord is not a vague concept in Scripture, but sometimes we make it that way when we apply it in our life. I get concerned sometimes when people say, well, you just got to have faith. And I'm thinking, well, yes, but are you really having faith in something, or did you just make that up? See, here's what I mean. Look at the notes there. First of all, trust is not blind. Trust is not blind. People say, well, just have blind faith. No, faith is not blind. Faith must be guided by truth. When they say blind faith, they mean a vague feeling of goodwill. If all you have about God is a vague feeling of goodwill, that's not faith, okay? That's just a vague feeling of goodwill. Trust is not blind. Biblical faith or biblical trust, write this down, is always tied to revealed truth. It must be tied to revealed truth. You cannot have faith in God about something if God has not told you something. That's just a wish. You know what a wish is, right? People say wishes. I wish this would happen. I wish it wouldn't be so hot outside, okay? Okay, that's fine. Wishes don't amount to anything. Trust is always tied to revealed truth. So when the Scripture says trust in the Lord, we're trusting something about the Lord that God has revealed to us. We're trusting an attribute of God. God is love. I trust that. Well, how do you trust that, Pastor? Because I read it in His Word. The Bible tells me and I can trust it. Now, I've never met Him face to face so much, but I know Him through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that lives within me, and I trust that. I put my faith and trust in it. A promise of God, okay? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's exactly right. That's a promise from God, and I read it and I choose to put my trust in it. There's truth that I can trust. Or a commandment of God. God tells me to do something and it stretches me. I said, I don't know if I can do that, but you know what? God is good. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to do it. Trust is always tied to revealed truth. And then thirdly, trust without truth is called presumption. Presumption. Now, that's not a word we use very often, so I've spelled it on the screen for you, okay? And you have to trust me that I spelled it right. No. If God has not promised or commanded, then what you have is not faith. It is a wish. Now, there are some things that people can have. People can have vision in their life, but if God has not commanded or promised, that's a man's vision. And sometimes it's good, but you can't have faith in God about your vision if it's not based on a commandment or a promise. Are we on the same page? Heads go like this, and okay, a universal sign for yes. See, you cannot force God to fulfill your plans by overextending yourself. Well, I'll just go and step out by faith. And I say, well, that might be good, but did God promise you that specifically? If He did not, then be careful. Be very careful. Even the prophets in the Word of God did this. They would call upon the Lord to defend, but it was always based on a promise that God had made or a commandment that God had given. So trust in the Lord is not a vague concept. It's based on the Word of God. And it says, I want to take it a step further. Trust in the Lord, absolute trust is absolutely necessary. Absolute trust. Look at verse 5 there. it says, with how much of your heart? With all thine heart. Now, that's hard for us. Even that man there in the book of Mark, he said, I believe, help thy mind unbelief. It's imperfect. And so God wants us to have all of our heart. Let me explain. Sometimes when you ask your kids to do something and they say they can't do it, but you know that they can, you know the reason they can't do it? It's because they didn't put their heart into it. Yeah. It's just half effort. Oh, I can't pick it up. I can't take the trash out. You know, I can't clean up my room. Your heart's not in it. All right. And sometimes when we believe God, our heart's really not in it. It's halfway. Halfway, one foot in, testing the waters. God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Listen to this text from 2 Timothy. It's there on your notes. Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He was in prison for his ministry. He was all in. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. God's going to take care of me according to his will. Whatever happens, it's according to his will. I can trust him. He was wholehearted. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart is wholehearted trust. Wholehearted trust. See, the heart attends to the issues of life, and this will influence every area of our life if we have wholehearted trust. Can I tell you this? Half-hearted trust is not pleasing to God. It really isn't. If God is your contingency plan or your co-pilot, that's not acceptable. Listen to this scripture verse from James. This sounds a little bit harsh, but James has that way. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, hey, that's me, let him ask of God that it giveth to all men liberally and it braideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Amen. I love that promise. Okay, we'll chalk that up to the, you know, name it, claim it crowd. Wait a second. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. What does that mean? It means that you're putting your whole trust in God's wisdom. That if he gives you wisdom, he gives you truth, and it disagrees with your preconceived ideas or with the world's wisdom, that you choose to take God's because you're trusting him, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You've met people like that before. Maybe you've been like that. And every time somebody tells them something, they take a different side of the issue. Okay? Never can make up their mind. And typically people like this will say, well, I just don't know because good men disagree. All right, what's the Bible say? Well, it's open to interpretation. And so usually when somebody tells me it's open to interpretation, I'll open the scripture and I'll show it to them, if we have time, and I'll say, okay, what are those words saying? Because usually God's word is very clear. The interpretation exists when we want it to, all right? He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God basically is saying this, I know when you're not wholehearted and when you really don't want my advice, I'm not going to give it to you. Half-hearted trust is not pleasing to God. He wants absolute trust. Absolute trust is absolute necessary. And I would, capital letter D, trusting God means taking his advice over our own understanding. This one's hard. Ooh. You mean, what about my experience? And what about, well, your experience, your understanding, your education, those things are good. But there are times that God calls us, yea, even commands us to do things that disagree with some of the things that we see or might hear or understand. Trusting God means taking his advice over our own understanding. It's probably C. Just focus on the words. This is not inspired, but the word of God is. Let's focus on, okay. At least I got you paying attention. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That word lean not. Leaning is a word of trust as well. We lean against things, we trust them, okay? When we lean against something, we're relying on it for support. And you know, the folly is, whenever our logic or our experience disagrees with God's word, we're supposed to trust which one? God's word. You know, there's been times before that I've driven to some place where I know how to get there, but I still use the GPS. Has anybody ever done that before? Yeah. And I have the GPS on, which, by the way, I love my new GPS. I can change the voice, and I have one. The voice I have on my current GPS is Cookie Monster. And so he tells me all kinds of things that are just hilarious. He's got a hilarious commentary on the GPS. He warns me, C is for cookie, caution, you know, and he tells me the red light cameras remind him of his buddy Elmo. And anyway, I've been on a familiar road with the GPS, and the GPS tells me to take a detour. And I go, no. It's telling me to turn there. I'm not going to listen to that. I know where I'm going. My own understanding says I have experience. I know where I'm going. And guess what? I just ignore it. And it keeps saying, turn right here. Recomputing. Turn right here. You know, and I ignore it. Okay. And guess what? There's a traffic jam or there's construction that I didn't know about because I don't know the future. Christian, do you know the future? No, thank you for being honest. Does God know the future?
Yes.
Yes. Does he know everything?
Yes.
Yes. And so we can trust him. The problem is this. Scripture verse that comes to mind with that is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The problem with this is we have a problem when it comes to trusting with all our heart, because we're eager to trust God with things that we obviously cannot do. We trust God with major sickness. Can you heal major sickness in your body? No. So we trust God with that. Can you save your own soul? No. So you trust God with that. Okay. Can you take care of major tragedy? No. So you can trust God with that. But when it comes to things in our life that we think we can control, we have a hard time trusting God with that. When it comes to joy, I think I can give myself joy better than God can. So I'll trust me rather than God's commandments. When it comes to success in life, I'll trust me rather than God because I have these ideas and I've watched this self-help seminar. When it comes to raising my kids, well, I know what the book of Proverbs and what the Bible says about training and about testing and about, you know, even about spanking. But you know, modern psychology is so much more advanced and Dr. Spock and all these things. So I'm going to trust that instead of God's word. That's wrong. See, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Next, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Pay attention to him. This is the opposite of ignoring. When you acknowledge someone, you're paying attention, you're valuing. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. I had a guy tell me, I've had many people tell me this, but it sticks out in my mind. Well, the Bible's good when it comes to spiritual things, but the rest of your life, you know, you just have to figure it out. I'm sorry, but that's not the truth. When it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, lean not unto thine own understanding, it means God is supposed to be the authority in all areas of my life. There is no area of your life, Christian, that is exempt from biblical direction. God's word, this is what we believe at Independent Baptist Church. We believe that God's word is the sole authority for faith and practice. Now, there are some things where God's word is not extremely specific. You have to use principles, and it's not wrong to use your wisdom. Okay, God gives you wisdom, hopefully. I told that to somebody the other day. We were talking about common sense, and they said, well, that should just be common sense. And I said, have you noticed how rare bird common sense is these days? Okay, yeah. Common sense is a good thing. But if your common sense disagrees with what the Bible says, we trust God. Okay? There is no area of our life. His advice reigns supreme. Business, child rearing, science. Well, Pastor, scientists have discovered. Okay, stop you right there. Scientists are humans. Somebody's paying their funding. They're not completely, you know, without motivation. And scientists are wrong a lot. All right? The best scientists in the world used to think the moon was, you know, real close and made out of cheese and all those kind of weird things. They used to think the world was flat. And now the best scientists in the world, what do they think? They think we evolved from monkeys. That's not very intelligent. That's driven by an agenda. Purpose in life, relationships, time management, and economics. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now realize this. If you say you trust God, but you don't obey God, that's incomplete. Trust without obedience is incomplete. Let me explain this to you. Trust must be based on truth. The Scripture is telling us to put our trust in God. He is the final authority in all areas of our life. Therefore, our life should change. We should obey Him if we truly trust. Now, trust does begin inside. You say, well, Pastor, doesn't trust begin in the heart and the mind? Well, sure it does. It's a mental decision. It's a heart decision. It begins internally. But it must change your living if it is real biblical, healthy faith and trust. Let me show you that. Romans 1:16-17. You've heard these verses before. But think about it this way. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, what's that next word? Believeth. Faith, trust, belief. Okay? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. He's talking about two different kinds of faith there. Really? Yeah. He's talking about an inward faith, that inward mental and heart decision of accepting Jesus Christ, that will produce an outward faith, a faith that changes your actions. As it is written, the just shall do what? Shall live by faith. See, trust without obedience is incomplete. And so God's not just calling us to have mental assent. He's calling us to obey Him. The promise is, therefore, that God will direct our paths. He will direct thy paths. See, obeying the commandments of God, let's skip past this just for time. Obedient faith, then, is obeying the commandments of God and trusting the promises of God. Let me say this. If you're not willing to trust God with the outcome, you'll struggle to obey Him in all areas of your life. That's where Christians fail. We say, well, I want to obey God, but I just can't. Well, then you're not going to obey Him in some areas of your life. You'll have incomplete obedience. Trusting God means taking His advice over our own understanding. And that brings us to capital letter D. Now we're on with the letters because I was wrong with the last one. Obeying God's word by faith is good for our physical health. It really is. Now, I'm not going to tell you you're always going to be healthy. You know, this body does wear out. Some people do get sick and God chooses to heal and sometimes He doesn't. But obeying God's word by faith is good for our physical health. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Be careful of pride here. Some people are the wisest person that they know and they take their own advice. Okay, be careful. If you're the smartest guy in the room in your own mind, that's a character flaw. When you cannot take somebody else's advice, when you're the expert in everything, you've been deceived. In fact, the Scripture says in Proverbs 16, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Be very careful. Scripture warns against that. So it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you live a life that way where you're humble and you fear the Lord and depart from evil, do you realize that God promises something? It says He promises this will help our health. It will help our health. Now, it's not a promise that you're always going to be healthy. You say, Pastor, I do this and I still got a cold. God, well, that's not what it's talking about. It means that you'll be in better health having obeyed. The scripture verse in Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. There are a lot of health problems that people have simply because they live a life of foolishness and sin. Would you agree? Absolutely. And if we obey God's word, if we don't make foolish decisions, if we use our wisdom, if we don't do those sins of stepping over the line, it will protect our health. Listen to this. Do you realize that many, many, many health problems today, chronic health problems, high blood pressure, ulcers, even some types of cancer, they've tied to worry and guilt. Worry and guilt. And the secular psychologists are trying to treat things in the people's life. Maybe we need to do these memory regression therapies. Maybe we need to put you on these drugs to get rid of your worry and your guilt. Can I tell you this? The Bible says trust brings peace. Trust brings peace. The book of Philippians tells this. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Fearing God causes us to avoid self-destructive behavior, and that brings health. And then finally, trusting God in all areas means seeking to honor the Lord by faith. It's good for my resources as well. Resources? Yeah, your finances. Now, these last few verses, 9 and 10, I think it's interesting. Verse 5 commands us to trust God with all our heart. Verse 9 deals with an area that's near to our heart, money, finances, and material goods. So in verse 9, it tells us this. It says, we are to use our resources to honor God. Use our resources to honor God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, building on what he just said in verse 5 and 6, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Thy substance. To honor is to lift up or to give glory. The way that you use what you have should bring glory to God. If you're a child of God, that's the purpose of your entire life, is to bring glory to God. So we are to honor the Lord with what we have. Honor the Lord with what you have. That would be your substance, whatever you own. But look at the next part of the verse. It says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So honor the Lord with what you have and with what you bring in, our increase, our income. See, your possessions, your assets, your money, your talents, your time. Really, this is only limited by what God has allowed you to have and the opportunities he gives you. Everything that you have, we ought to be using to honor the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you give away everything you own. That's not what this is saying. It's saying that how you use what you own should honor the Lord and help others. Is that a good thing, Christian? Yes. That's an amazing thing. If Christians live that way, and many of you do live that way, that's a great thing. But it also says, use what you bring in to honor the Lord. In fact, our usage of resources ought to bring glory to God. Now, one way we do that is by being willing to give to others and to the local ministry. We'll talk about the amount and how to do that in next week's lesson and in future lessons. But if we can trust God, can we trust God with our eternity? Yes. Can we trust God with our here and now? Yes, God will take care of us. And when faith rules your heart, we'll close with these three statements. When faith rules your heart, worry is replaced with prayer. When faith rules your heart, fear is replaced with confidence. When faith rules your heart, stinginess and selfishness are replaced with generosity. And so God can take care of you. He will. He does. Okay? Giving by faith is part of living by faith. And obeying the commandments of God while trusting the promises of God is the way every Christian should live. Now, are we always successful at that? No. But we need to be. We need to be more. And God can use us to bless others. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll get into the next step of this. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would just help us to honor you. Help us to open our hearts to your word, to be ready for you to instruct us. I thank you for each one that's here today. And Lord, it may be that the area that we need to put faith in you and thereby obey you may not be in the area of finances today. Maybe somebody's here today, Lord, that is struggling with another area to trust you, holding back on obedience because of fear or lack of confidence. I pray, God, that you would just give them the boldness to do what they have heard from you, that you would be able to bless them. Give us a good rest of this day. Bless the next service. In your name I pray. Amen.